Today is National Signing Day, so I'm going to take my phone and set it over here just so nobody interrupts me to let me know what's happened today with the Georgia Bulldogs. It's all good. Okay. Thank you, Bjorn. Tonight is the fifth one, and I'm as excited about this one as I have the rest of them. I'm going to pretty much stick to money, but again, like I told you last week, everything is intertwined. Your health and your finances and your relationships, they all mesh together. So I've got a couple of things I'm going to talk about tonight that'll just kind of mix those things up. But before we get started, let's say a word of prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for tonight and the time that we have to come together, and I pray that you'd just be with us tonight, and that we would just hear you in the words that you've given me to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Sunday night, of course, was a big day in football. Anybody know what happened on Sunday night? Super Bowl. They played the Super Bowl. You did? Well, that's great, because we're going to take up an offering tonight, so that's going to work out really well. Oh, okay. Way to go, John. All right. I'm not a huge pro football fan, but I like to watch the Super Bowl. I like to watch the commercials and everything, but everybody knows, or if you don't know about the Super Bowl that was just played, if you didn't watch it all the way to the end, there was an amazing... The last 35, 40 seconds of the game changed it all. And it was exciting to watch, and I didn't have a horse in the race. It really didn't matter to me who won. You know, I was just looking for good football. But for those of you who didn't see this, I want to retell the story a little bit of what happened in the last 35, 40 seconds of the game. The Seahawks were driving down and fixing the score. There was that much time left, and it was first or second down, I can't remember. But they were right there on like the 4-yard line, ready to score. And if they scored, the Patriots didn't. They weren't going to have enough time to go back down the field and take the lead back. So I mean, it was just kind of the edge of the seat. You knew the game was fixing to be over. But there was a player on the team for the Patriots, and his name is Malcolm Butler, and he's a rookie. Now, those of you who don't know, a rookie, that means this was his first year. This was his first year to play. And the interesting thing about him is, and what I like stories like this in the NFL is, this is somebody who didn't play for a big college, played for a really small college. He was not anybody that people heard of, you know. He was not, like today was signing day, and all these high school kids, they rate them with 5 stars and 4 stars, and they're going to be these superstars and all that. This guy was a football player. That's just how to explain it. He was just a football player. He loved football. His name was Malcolm Butler, as I said. But what he did was he intercepted a pass that sealed the victory for his team. Okay, first NFL interception. Because as I said, he's a rookie, okay? And, sir? Hold on just a second. Let me pray about that for just a second. Lord, I pray that. Anyhow, so he intercepted the pass and sealed the victory for his team. Now, it was real exciting, and when he caught the ball, it just flipped completely because the Seahawks had it won. They were already celebrating. They've had it won. And this guy that nobody's heard of before intercepted this pass. Now, here's the thing I really want to set up for you is they interviewed him after the game, right after the game. So he didn't have time to think about anything. Here's what he said. And I love this. Man, when he was sitting there, when he was saying that, I was just like, man, it's good stuff. Because they said, tell us about that play. And he said, I just had a vision that I was going to make a big play. And it came true. He said, he followed up with that, and he said, I'm just blessed, and I can't explain it right now. Just like that. Now, I want you to get the picture of what we've been talking about for these first 4 weeks, and again tonight, is everything starts with a thought, okay? Everything starts with a thought. Now, here's a young man playing in the Super Bowl, the biggest football game of the whole year for everything, who nobody knows anything about. Now, he gets by himself, and he envisions himself making a great play. See, nobody came to him and said, you know what, Malcolm, I bet you're going to make the best play. You're going to win this game for us. Now, I mean, because they got superstars on this team, on both teams. Nobody knows who Malcolm is. But see, Malcolm, in his mind, in his in his spirit said to himself, I'm going to make a great play today. And I want to remind you, there was only 35 seconds left. Okay? The game's over. But not to Malcolm, it wasn't over. See, he still had the vision in his mind. It's making my skin tingle just talking about it. Huh? Because, I mean, that's what this is all about. That's what it's all about, is having a vision for you and what you can accomplish and what you can do. Later on in the interview, he said, and of course you know how they do this, but he said, we watched film after film after film after film. And he said, when I got in position, I saw the quarterback look without turning his head. He said, I saw his eyes go to the right, and I knew what play was fixing to come. They'd watched enough of it. He knew how they were lined up. So see, what he did was he was prepared. All right, and I'm going to say it again. This was Mr. Nobody. Nobody knew who he was. Why was he preparing like that? Because he said he had a vision, he was going to make a great play. That's why he prepared that way. Now, that's what I want all of us to be inspired to do with ourselves with every day of our life. Let me tell you something. When your feet hit the floor in the morning, envision yourself doing something great that day. That day. Something great. Okay? May not be the Super Bowl, but you know what? You might do something in somebody's life that it's the Super Bowl for them. It might be. It might be a handshake, a pat on the back, a hole in the door, a $5 bill. I don't know. But see, if you wake up in the morning and you start to envision it, man, I'm telling you, I couldn't hardly wait. When that thing was over, I went right making my notes. I couldn't wait to tell y'all about that tonight. But that's exactly how this thing works. It's exactly how positivity works. It's exactly how we were made to think. We're made to think that way. But we let other stuff get involved with us where we get up in the mornings and we're like, I don't know. It's Monday again. You know, I got to do this. Man, that, don't do that. Don't do it. Catch yourself and get that thing out of here. Say, no, I'm going in a different direction today. Okay? That's how it works. The key to me for everything he said, you know, was that he envisioned it and that he did the work. Part of what we've been talking about, and Ralph's been teaching it, Buren preaches it, what we hear around here, hear some good stuff. It's not coming from me, and it's not coming from Ralph, not coming from Buren, it's coming from above. Everything you hear, though, you got to apply it. You got to do something with it, okay? See, it's easy for us to go through life hearing great ideas and walking away from them. I was sharing with Kitty this morning because I like T.D. Jakes, I like reading his books, but I watched a little clip from him this morning. And it was confirmation for something that Spirit's been telling me for a little while. And I shared a little bit a few Wednesday nights back. Just a little bit of it. And I'm going to tell you some more about it. But the clip that he had was from his sermon that he preached on Sunday. And we're going to talk about money tonight a little bit and how, you know, we get in trouble sometimes. And we may have a need in our life. But his clip was about for us to pay attention. Because he said, we ask God a lot of times to do things for us. And he said, I'm telling you right now, in this building, there are people who should have already written books. There's people who should have already written songs. There's people who should have already, and he just went on and on and on and on. See, God puts that stuff in us, maybe somebody's saying it, and we hear it, and we might pick it up, hold it for a while, but then we set it down over here and walk away and say, man, I sure wish things would get better. You know, I wish things would get better. And that his whole point was how this isn't about God just supernaturally, poof, throwing it down there to you. He's giving you the ideas. He's giving them to you all the time. And it could be something that you consider to be insignificant. But see, he can make that into something huge. He can make that into something really huge. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, the only person you are destined to become is the person you decide to be. You decide to be. That's what we started this off with on the first Wednesday night. It's up to you. And you get to decide. The pressure is on. Okay? Pressure's on. But see, going back to Malcolm Butler, man, was there pressure on him? You better believe it. But because he was prepared, and he saw it already in his mind, it just came true. And that's what he said. And I love that quote that he said. He said, "I'm blessed, and I just can't explain it." You can't put that kind of stuff in words. You can't. That's between you and the Spirit, the way it happens. Okay, talking about money. The number one issue in marriages is money. There are more divorces over money than anything else. Now, the reason for that is because what I said early on, because all of this stuff is intertwined, see? Money, health, and relationship. So, if you have a significant other, or if you're married, whatever the case may be, finances will affect your relationship. It will affect your health. It will, period. But here's the deal. It's just like the positive zone that we have, that there's two choices. You get to decide how it's going to affect you. It's up to you to pick it. All right? I'm gonna read you what I have written here, okay? Versus just trying to talk about it, and then I'll talk about it. But this is something that came to me as I started putting this together. It will affect your relationship. You decide if it will affect you negatively or positively. If you have disagreements and it's not resolved, it can cause distrust, separation, constant problems, frustration. It causes stress, physical pain, habits that we pick up that affect our health. It causes your world to become smaller. It shrinks. Your future is bleak. It's cloudy. You may turn to alcohol or drugs to escape the problem. You may turn to food and just eat unhealthy and create bad habits there. It can cause depression. It can cause you to just sleep all the time, which is what happens through depression, inactivity, and on and on and on and on. It can affect you that way. Here's the flip side. You can decide to let it affect you in a positive way. When you're in agreement, it creates trust. It creates togetherness. It relieves stress. It becomes peaceful. Your world expands. Your future looks exciting and clear. You'll be inspired to take better care of yourself, healthy, to enjoy your life. You'll have more energy, and on and on and on. See, those are the two choices when it comes to money. Those two choices. Now, I understand there's some complicated issues that bring it all together, but remember, we're going back, because I'm going to keep repeating it, because just like a good coach, repetition, 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 everything starts with a thought, okay? Everything starts with a thought. God does not intend for you to be frustrated. He doesn't want you to barely be getting by. He doesn't want you to have to struggle all the time. Remember our principles that we've learned the first two Wednesdays that we'll continue to talk about each week. They're the spirit of giving. And what's the other one? It's left me. Gratefulness. Thank you. Giving and gratefulness. Gratefulness and giving go together. And then paying attention and being responsible. Those are the four cornerstones. You have to move from a blame mindset and to move forward. See, we block the blessings of God by doing things our own way. By choosing the negative thing, we block the blessings. God is just like I was telling you a moment ago, that there are a lot of people that God's given us things to do that could be great for us and for everybody else. But we block it when we choose not to go down that path, when we choose to go the other way. So what we all want to do is to find the paragraph that I just read you about the positive side, the peacefulness, the joy of wanting to be healthy and taking care of yourself and all of those kind of things. How do we get there? The first step in this is as simple as this: communication. You know, so many people who have money problems within a relationship, they don't talk about it. They may try to talk about it for a little while, but they don't get anywhere with it. So then the next method is, we just won't talk about it. We'll just act like it's not there. And we'll just struggle along. See, that's the choice of that negative piece right there. So the first step is communication. You got to talk about it. You got to talk about where you learned how to handle money. The one place that we fail along in our country, in my opinion, in just the education system, is teaching people how to handle money and finances. That's left up to, and it should be taught in the home, but we don't do that either. We're too busy. We got too many things going on. We may try to lead by example. So most people get to an adulthood, nobody's ever told them how to do this. Nobody's ever shared with them how it's done. Now, I know they took simple mathematics, and that's all it is. It's just plus and minus. That's all it is, really, isn't it? It's just plus and minus. You learn it real early. But for some reason, we just don't teach it. And so we grow up, and you may get a job when you're a teenager, and you may get a little money, and you may, you know, start to develop some habits with your money, and then you're out on your own, and then you meet somebody, and both of you have different habits or whatever, and you may not even know where you got it all, where it came from. So the first key is to communicate about it. Sit down together and talk about, how did you learn about money? What are your thoughts about money? Where are we going? Because we all know you got to have it, right? You got to have it. Now, I'll just go ahead and tell you, those conversations are not always comfortable. It's uncomfortable, but it's necessary. See, silence will get you only silence. That's it. And there's no communication there. And so what happens to most, a lot of people, is you just grow up and go down the road you've been going on and keep doing the things you've been doing, and the things that you've been getting is what you've been, that is just good, over and over and over again. It repeats itself. So you need the communication. You need to be honest. And here's the key. Allow each of you to share your thoughts, keeping in mind that both of you could be wrong. Both of you could be wrong, okay? Ralph started out a long time ago with the statement, giving up your need to be right, okay? And a lot of times we just think we have to be right about stuff. But here's the honest piece is, you may be wrong. So it's really good to talk to each other and try to figure out where you are. Because there's my way and then there's God's way. Because he explains it in his word exactly how to take care of money and to deal with it. I'm going to share a couple of scriptures with you. During this time of communication, you need to allow the other person to talk. This is not the time to correct the other person. Okay? It's not the time to correct them. See, what you want to do is start to cultivating a period where you both can share truthfully and honestly without being corrected about it. Because keep in mind, some people, this is how they grew up. This is what they learned. And to them, that's how it's done. The other is foreign to them, okay? So it takes time, but this is how we learn to grow with each other, though, is to be able to share with that and talk about it. So don't try to correct each other. You want to find out what your differences are between you and your mate, and then start seeking help in God's word. One thing that I'm really big on, because I've talked to several people during some counseling times and even in coaching, and what I tell them is, don't take money advice from people who don't know how to handle money, right? Because see, now listen, listen, there are a lot of people, again, going back to this, who think they know how it's done, but they don't, all right? See, there are a lot of people today, remember how we talked about credit last week and how that goes, and how the quote that was there that I love, and it is heavy, but it's so true. You know, that we use credit because what we're saying is that God's provision is not enough for us. So we find another way to do it. And that's wrong, and it gets us in trouble. Puts us in a bad place. So the question for you tonight is, for you yourself, before you even have that conversation together, is, what do you believe about money? So you need to have that conversation with yourself and be honest with yourself about money. How do you deal with it? Do we need a lot or do we need a little? How are we going to get it? How much do we spend? All those things running through your mind. I'll tell you, a good way to know, to be, to, to to convince yourself of how you actually are feeling about money, I'll ask you this. When you come into some money, whether it's through a refund check for the IRS or a lottery ticket or somebody gives you a big gift or you get a bonus, what are your first thoughts to do with that money? See, that'll start to tell you exactly where you are with your money. It'll tell you, what are your first thoughts? See, most of us, because we don't know how it's done, we grow up and we think that when we get something like that, the first thing that comes to our mind is a three-letter word, fun, right? What can I do with this to have fun with? Remember one of the principles, being responsible? You can have fun and be responsible, but they have to go together, okay? If you leave one of the elements out, if you're only responsible, you never have any fun. And if you're only doing the fun piece, you're never responsible. Both of those will go away. They're negatives. They're not going to work. You got to have a mixture of the two. You got to talk to yourself to understand the value of money. Remember how we talked about in the very first week about the penny and how the young man took the penny. And that through the compound interest, that how it added up, and that they do add up quickly. One of the first things that we have to draw this conclusion, understanding to ourselves, first of all, through God's word, where he teaches us this, is it's not ours to begin with. See, when we get the money and we go down the fun thing right off the bat, we're leaving out the most important equation here. Okay? It's the responsibility piece. And for some reason, we just think it's mine. And I can do whatever I want to with it because it's mine. And that gets us in trouble. So you have to understand that what you are to be a good steward of what God blesses you with. Here's what I'll tell you. If you start to have this conversation with your significant other, just by having the conversation, I'm going to give you a little bit of word of a prophecy over here. There's just by having the conversation, good things will start happening to you. And I don't mean that in a magical way. I mean it in this sense that God honors us when we start doing things the way he says to do it. Okay? And I don't mean that you're going to get this huge windfall. You might. I don't know. But that's not what to expect. But understand that when you start doing it the right way, God will bless you for it. Because see, what you're doing instead of blocking the blessing, you're opening it up. You're making him a part of it. You're saying to him, I honor you and that this is yours. What do we do with it? So we start to do that. So when you start looking at your finances and biblical principles, you allow God to bless you. Now, wherever you are right now, because it could run the gamut here tonight with those that are here. Don't beat yourself up over the discoveries that you make with this conversation. That's not what this is about either. It's not about one correcting the other, and it's also not about beating yourself up over the discoveries. Because the discoveries is a good thing. It's a good thing. See, you bring it to light. You see that you made mistakes, you're going to fix them and move on. And going back to the attitude with Malcolm, see, everything starts with a thought. So when you find these things that you've not done right, you've not done correctly, you didn't know, nobody ever told you, nobody ever showed you, then don't beat yourself up over it. Start with the thought in a positive realm from this aspect. Going forward, I know better. That's the first step. Going forward, I know better. I didn't know, okay? See, what you don't want to do during this discovery phase when you're communicating with each other is when it starts to come to light, because how many know that having this conversation, sometimes when I think I'm right and I start talking it out, I realize I'm wrong. That's part of the reason for the conversation. There's something about saying it and hearing yourself saying what your philosophy was. It happens to me where I'm sitting, sometimes I'm like, I can't believe I just said that. Where did that come from? Where did that philosophy come from? But here's the thing, you don't want any of that to take place to where you start to develop a defeated mentality. Because again, that's not what the purpose of this is. The purpose is to get on the right track and move forward. See, one of the things when I was coaching that I still use today in my daily life, I try to remind myself all the time, man, when I was coaching kids, I couldn't tell you how many times, because it happens, you go out to start a game, and we're the team in the field first, so the visitors are hitting, and they get 6 runs in the first inning. We're losing 6-0. We ain't even batted yet. We ain't even come in. 6-0. One thing I learned about coaches is how kids will, man, they react is, I used to always meet them coming off the field. I didn't stand in the dugout. I always came outside as they're coming off, and I was clapping hands. Come on, guys, come on. And I would tell them, I would say, guess what? We're down 6-0. That's the bad news. The good news, we got the whole game to catch up. Let's go get them one at a time and go back in the dugout. And see, what I was portraying to them was not a defeated attitude. Bad things were just discovered here. We're down by 6. But I'm ready to charge on into this thing, and let's get them back. Let's catch up and go ahead of them. Let's do it. And those kids would respond all the time. See, I know that there are some coaches who come out there and they're like, really? 6-0? We ain't even, come on, you know? Well, what would those guys do? They just drag in. See, everything starts with a thought. It's how you approach it, what you're going to do with it. Because what I don't want is you to develop a defeated mentality. I want you to develop a winning mentality and go forward with it. It's your expectations. Remember Malcolm? He had an expectation. He's going to make a great play in that Super Bowl. You are blessed, and it has to be your mindset. My favorite verse that I've learned through going through the positive school is in Proverbs, so as a man thinketh, so is he. Man, you got to pay attention to your thoughts. That keeps you away from that defeated mentality if you pay attention. Because what you think is what you are. What you think is what you are. So you got to stay away from that. Another quote I shared with you last week from the book, The Slight Edge, one of my favorite books. But in this discovery phase, when you find things are wrong, here's a quote that I got from the book. He said, you can't change the past, you can change the future. Would you rather be influenced by something you can't change or something you can? That's right. Amen. See, that's what that's all about. That's the purpose of meeting the kids coming in off the field. I couldn't change that we're behind by 6 runs. But I can change our attitude and make sure that we know we're going to catch them and we're going to get ahead of them. That's how it is. That's a great quote. You can't change the past. You can change the future. Would you rather be influenced by something you can't change and dwelling on that? Or something you can change, and that's the future. All right. I'm going to read you something else that I got. Agree to make your first thoughts to be aligned with the fundamentals of developing your spirit of giving and thankfulness, our fundamentals, and the spirit of responsibility and paying attention. You'll be on your way to peace when you do that. Agree together to make your first thoughts to be aligned with those fundamentals, a spirit of giving and thankfulness, responsibility, and paying attention. You do those four things, and everything will straighten up. It will. It'll straighten up. You'll be on your way to peace. The best way to get this whole thing started is the principle that is in God's Word. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this because I don't want to scare anybody. Not really. But it's the tithe. It's the 10%. That's right. That's right. That's where it's at. You see, if we put ourselves in those modes of the giving, a giving spirit, a thankful spirit, because that's what the tithe is. That's what it is. It's thankful and giving. Because what he told us in his word was, and what we have to understand is, see, he owns 100% of it. But what he's telling us is that out of obedience, if we return to him the 10%, that he will bless us beyond our wildest dreams. And I'm just going to stand up here and tell you, it works. It works. Kitty and I have always tithe and more. And like I told you last week, we're wealthy. And I'm not saying we're wealthy because of a number. I'm saying we're wealthy because we got more than we need. That's how it works. I have more than I need. Okay? But that's a principle that's got to be addressed first off is putting that in line. And see, I've dealt with people, I've talked with people who've said, I can't afford 10%. You can't afford not to. You can't afford not to. And when I say that, you can go ahead and not do it. But it goes back to what I said earlier. See, you block the blessing. See, God says, if you'll do it according to my word, the way I've laid it out for you, this will happen. And you will be blessed, and you will be blessed, and you will be blessed. So that's how it works. We give and we're blessed. We're giving, we're blessed. We're giving, we're blessed. It's the whole circle of life thing. When you get to the point where you decide I'm not going to give, you can live that way. But you block the blessing. See, you said, just like on the credit thing, you said, I know what you said how to do it, but I'm going to step over here and try it this way. And some people go through their whole lives living it, trying to figure it out another way. And they can be happy at times. I'm not saying they're sad people. I'm saying that they're missing out on God's blessing that he wants to give you by doing it that way. So the tithe is huge. The second step here, and this is where the rubber starts to meet the wheel for you a little bit, figuring it out, is you got to understand where you are financially. Where are you? This is where you have to sit down together and write it down. Ooh, that just sounds tough, doesn't it? Nobody wants to do that. They really don't, but exactly, that's the only way it works. See, most of the time, we like to put that off. I tell you what happens in a lot of couples is one puts it off on the other. And it doesn't work good because, see, what generally happens, and because I've dealt with them, is money becomes an issue. She's paying all the bills. He's making all the money. Sounds like an equal thing, right? I'm making it, giving it to her. She pays the bills. Why isn't everything working right? But see, when you don't have the money and you go to her and say, what happened? What happened? Or she looks to him and says, you didn't bring as much as you normally do. Now what? You know? So you got to know where you are financially. So you got to sit down and write it down. And it's just this simple. Because remember what I said a little while ago? It's not really difficult. It's all addition and subtraction. That's all it is. And you learn that early in elementary school. Pluses and minuses, okay? So what you have to do is you have to sit down and write down how much money is coming in. And then what are you committed to? How much is going to go back out? It's that simple, but it's not easy, is it? See, nobody wants to do that. And when I say nobody, you know what I'm talking about, being in general terms. You can't ever get control until you do it. When you do it, you're in control and you'll start to see things. You'll start to see things that just disappeared before because you weren't paying attention. Remember, that's one of the principles is pay attention and be responsible. So you have to sit down and write it down together. What's coming in? What are our obligations? I'm going to tell you right here, this is what a lot of people like to do, but I'm going to warn you again, don't guess. Don't estimate, okay? Don't write down general terms, general numbers, okay? Write down exactly what gets deposited. And for most people, everybody knows what you're getting. I know it varies from time to time, and you just have to deal with that. You still got to sit down and write it down, okay? Write it down, look at it together, study it, chew on it, shine the light on it. Because this is your reality. See, this is your world. This is the truth. This is where we are. Most of us, or most people will go through, and when they do that, when they see that, they're taken back because it's not what they had in their mind, what they thought. It's not what they thought. It's completely different. But that's the whole piece of writing it down and looking at it and talking about it together. Again, I'm going to repeat it. When you start to do this, you write it down, you start to look at it, you'll see immediate results. Immediate. It won't be a month from now. It'll be immediate. Number one, you'll be able to see what the truth is. And number two, going back to what I said, when you start paying attention and being responsible, God will bless you for it. He will bless you for it. He will show you things. He will give you things when you do it the right way. when you're looking at it, when you write it down and you see what's coming in and what's going out, this is where we start to identify where the holes are. Nobody likes to be in a boat that's leaking, right, Beer? Doesn't work. It's not going to work. But see, financially, there are so many people that are walking around with their boats leaking. And some of it may be just a little bit. Some of it may be a lot. But what you want to do is be able to find the holes. Find the holes. Find the leak. A quick lesson. I'm going to read this to you, and I'm sorry about reading so much to you tonight, but this is the best way to do it. A quick lesson about how spending and not paying attention adds up in practical everyday life. I came up with this example. Yeah, I did. I came up with it, okay? Let's say that you go out to eat at lunch every day for a whole year. Work week is what I got this to. 5 days a week, okay? Now, we all know that everybody likes to go out on weekends, but we're not going to count that. We're going to say 5 days a week. And let's say I even took out 4 weeks in the year just because you might be on vacation or sick or Buren might ask you to out to lunch. I don't know, and you didn't have to buy. But I took four of those weeks out, okay? So for 240 days, you go out for lunch every day. And let's just say you get a deal every day. And you only spend $5. $5, 240 days. That's $1,200 at the end of the year. See how that adds up? You know what we think about? $5. See, all we pay attention to? $5. We don't put it in perspective. Say, well, if I do this every day for the whole year, what does that come to? $1,200. How many of you like to have an extra $1,200? Nobody? Oh, there's a few. Okay, good. We'd all like to have an extra $1,200. Okay, now that's just an example. Now, let's take it a little bit further. Because what could you do with $1,200? Go on vacation? Pay for something that you need? Something broke at the house? A down payment for something? The beginning of a college fund? Will $5 break you? No, it won't. It's just $5. But see, over time, it adds up. It's just like the penny that we talked about. See, if you go out to eat 240 days a year for 5 years, you know what that comes to? $6,000. See, in 5 years, that's $6,000 that we gave to Subway instead of putting it in our pocket. Or putting it somewhere else. It's easy to do, isn't it? Am I telling you can't go out to eat? Not a chance. Not going there. It's an example, though, of how we don't pay attention to the little things. Remember the lesson a few weeks back, how we celebrate the big things, we don't pay attention, and the little things are what matter. And see, we don't pay attention. So you can still go out to eat. Now, I'm going to give you an example from me. I hardly ever go out to eat during the week. At work, I take my lunch every day. My darling wife makes my lunch for me every day. When I get up in the morning, I go make my coffee. Yeah, hope. Stand by, everybody. You better get ready. I get up in the morning, go make my coffee, and what's going to go in my lunch is either laying on the counter or it's in the refrigerator if it needs to be refrigerated. I stick it in the bag and I go to work. But see, we work as a team. See that? And so by doing so, I don't spend $5 a day. I have my $1,200, okay? And we've been married for 15 years. So I have my $18,000 that I haven't spent. We have. Let me back up. I saw her looking at me, yeah. We have. So you see the example? See how easy that is? And you pick out something in your life. What do you spend money on every day? It just goes away. It just goes away. See, when you start talking like this, here's the first thought people come to their mind. I work, and I ought to be able to get things that I want. True. And if you want them, do it. But if you want to get on the other side from a financial standpoint, keep your money in your pocket sometimes. See, don't have that mentality of, I work, so I get to spend it. And there's nothing wrong with having some things. Don't get me wrong. Everybody knows, okay? But it's paying attention to the little things. See, everything starts with a thought. And we can take that, and for $5 a day for lunch, we can. It's only $5. But when you sit down and add it up for the year, or for 5 years, or for 10 years, you could go to Paris for 2 weeks. But see there, it's a choice. I would rather eat Subways than go to the Eiffel Tower. I mean, that's what it amounts to at times, okay? For all of those things. You get to choose. You have to get on the same page, and you have to agree, and you have to have a plan, and you have to stick to it. Now, the thing I want to tell you here is to be positive. Going back to Malcolm, whatever your plan's going to be financially or where you want to be, because what I want to inspire you of tonight is to see where you are. And you may be great. And if you are, good. I'm glad for you. But we all can learn all the time and get better. See, that's how Malcolm got where he was, okay? He understood that. And he had that vision, and he was positive. But going back to the very first lesson, you know what Malcolm had above everything else is? He believed in Malcolm. He didn't need for anybody else to believe in him. See, he didn't go to everybody else and say, do you believe I'm going to make a good play right here? He wasn't interested in what anybody else said. Not how they thought. He knew what he was going to do. And you can do the same thing financially. See, you go and you look at it and you make a decision. And then you be positive and you believe in yourself of where you want to go and what you want to do with it and how you want to get there exactly. See, what we've been doing here during the discovery phase, what you're going to do is you're going to identify the weaknesses and you're going to turn it into a positive. All right? Because that's how it's done. So you don't beat each other up. You don't beat yourself up for what you discover. You flip it to the other way. How can I do this? Because there's ways of doing it. And it amounts to being responsible and paying attention, have a giving spirit. I'm going to share with you a few money disciplines. Now, the first one is a no-brainer, but most people, we don't pay attention to it. Live below your means. It's a simple concept. It's a simple concept. But see, we grew up and we're conditioned to believe certain things about ourselves and what compared to other people and those kind of things, to where most people would say that is a true statement and should be followed, and then they would follow it with a but. But if you want to get to where you need to be and where God wants you to be and to be in a position where you can have blessings beyond measure, you have to understand that concept, and that is to live below your means. See, adding and subtracting, plusing and minus. The only possible way to save any money is to live below your means. Right? Because if you don't, if you live exactly what you bring in, then you're zero. Okay? The only way to save any money is to live below your means. Now, see, remember the scripture verse I shared with you last week that looked like it was a positive, but it was a negative? See, that's the same thing. Live below your means. That sounds negative, doesn't it? Doesn't it? We see it sometimes as it's a downer. It's pulling us down. But see, that's the beauty of what we discovered last week too. What appears to be a negative is a positive. If you'll follow those principles, it's incredible. It's incredible what God will do. He'll bless you by following those principles. So live below your means. And what that means is not to spend more than what you bring in. Period. But remember, we're going to write it down so we'll already know. Going back there. Another discipline to understand is, and about bills. Nobody likes them, but they do come. They do come. So you have to have a philosophy or a discipline about how you're going to deal with bills. And if I took a survey, we'd probably have all kinds of different stuff around here. Some people pay their bills one time a month. Some people pay them twice a month, depending on how you get paid. Some people pay the bill the day it comes in the mail. I know somebody like that. The day it comes in. Why let it sit around? pay it and it's done. Behind you. It's over. And then there's another possibility, and that is set it somewhere and don't open it. Anybody ever deal with a bill like that? I have. Not recently, but I have. There was a time in my life that I had this crazy idea that if I never opened it, it wasn't so. Because I can look somebody in the eye and say, I never saw it. I didn't see it. What? Just don't open it. You know, it's funny, but we do. Believe me, it is a philosophy. It is. There you go. Return to sender. Here's what I do know, and you know too. That doesn't work. It doesn't work. So you have to have a philosophy of how to deal with them, when you're going to pay them. So you have a plan. You set a clock each day. I hope you do it. Those of you who have to work, you know. But you have a time schedule that you're on it. You set a schedule for paying your bills. Set it. That's when you pay your bills, whatever that may be. If you're behind on your bills, this is a money discipline. You got to get current. You have to get current, because by ignoring it and not being current can damage you big time. Big time. So you want to get current with them. If you don't have the money to get current with them, call them. Talk to them. Work something out. But don't do the other one, or ignore or put it away or hide it, because it's only going to get bigger. Another discipline, and this comes from Kitty and I. We love Dave Ramsey. We read his books, listened to his radio show. But another discipline is you need to save $1,000 for an emergency. One of your first things, you start writing it down, start getting things in order. You need $1,000 for an emergency. And if you don't have $1,000, if you'll work on it, you'll be surprised how fast that'll come. Because remember what I told you, you start doing the right things, good things will happen to you. And you'll accumulate it quicker than you think you will if you start working on it. But you make out the plan. If it's an extra $10 that you have, whatever it is. I forgot, it just dawned on me. I meant to bring you my jar. I have a jar in my closet. It's a big jar. I'll tell you one of the ways that I save money is I do like to deal with cash, unlike a lot of people, but I do like, when I go anywhere, if I pay for something and it's $1.16, I don't look for 16 cents in my pocket. I always give them $2. And the change that I get back, when I get home every day, I put it in that jar. It's the way I save money. I'm not going to tell you where that jar is right now. It's probably got $300 in it right now in change. Maybe more. I don't know. But see how simple that is? How simple that is? And every now and then, I use that. I'll tell you, I use most of that when Kitty and I go yard selling on Saturday morning. I shake those quarters out because I'm making a deal today. But see where that is? See, that's money that, instead of money disappearing and not knowing about it, I got money that I saved without even thinking about it. And then I can go to a yard sale and swing a deal for a quarter. Nothing. It didn't come up from anywhere. You see how it works? Save $1,000. Make it happen. The debt piece, we talked about that last week. You got to get out of debt, because debt will crush you. It enslaves you, and it's a negative. It's funny sometimes, because we can laugh at it, but you know, I hear people who buy stuff on credit that's on sale. Well, that's crazy. If you're not going to pay the bill off when it comes in, you didn't buy it on sale. You're going to pay more than you would have paid if the price was way higher right there. But see, in our nation today, there are so many people who fall into this thing of, it used to be, a minimum payment. It's only $10 a month. I can charge whatever on this thing. It's $10 a month. Yahoo! But the catch is that it's $10 a month for the rest of your life. for the rest of your life for what you could save. I have I've had opportunities, and by saving and by doing things right and doing it first the right way, where Kitty and I have bought cars where we've paid cash for them. Not brand new cars, don't get me wrong, but cars we've got, pay cash for them. And I've had people say, I couldn't do that. Well, of course you could. Because you go out and take a car loan and you make payments every month. So all you have to do is reverse that. You make your payments to you first, and then you go buy your car. See, we don't like doing that because we like a microwave world that we're in. And we don't like to do the principles. But see, that's what, in God's word, it tells us to be wary of debt, to stay away from it, because it traps you. It enslaves you. You become a slave to it. So if you follow the right principles, you can stay away from that, okay? So get out of debt. And I can talk to anybody, Kitty and I can. There's a lot of people who can tell you, like the way Dave Ramsey, he has a method. If you have multiple debts, of how to knock them out. And I'll be glad to help anybody and tell you what that plan is, and it works. It works. Here's a discipline. If you don't have the money, wait until you do. See, that's part of the first principle there, being responsible. I can tell you that the way we do things at our house, when we take a trip, it's paid for before we go. We don't take a trip and then get back home and look at each other and say, now, how are we going to do this? See, we already know before we go that it's paid for. And if we don't have the money, we don't go. We just wait. Because if you keep doing the right things the right way, I'll have the money. We'll get the money. It'll come. But we wait. We're patient. So by writing all this down, by going through all this process, you can learn to where all your money goes, because money just seems to disappear so many times. And we have so many, I'll get to that in just a minute. Remember the story of the penny and how that adds up. See, debt does the exact same thing, because that's the negative, but it's the same principle. Adds up over and over. But I'm telling you things where you've got to have a plan. Proverbs 21, 5 and 6 says this. Good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. That's how simple it is. So you got to have a plan. You got to write it down. You got to know what you have. You got to know where it's going. Pay attention, be responsible, and he will bless you for it. You have to pay attention to your thought. We've already talked about it. Everything starts with a thought. You got to keep yourself from thinking ever that you don't have enough. Don't go there. It's real simple to come to that conclusion sometimes. Things not going your way, and we say stuff like that. Don't let that happen. Keep your mindset focused on what you have and how blessed you are. Another principle is there can be no secrets between each other. No secrets. There can, but you hold yourself back by doing that. You hold your family, all the whole unit, you hold it back when you do that. See, the whole idea of being in a relationship is to be a team. It's like I was talking about where my lunch is ready for me all the time. And I do things for Kitty, but see, we work as a team. We do things for each other. We make things easier for one another, but we do things as a team. But you can't have secrets. Everything's got to be in the open. You got to be a team player. In today's world, I was talking to Keith about this on Sunday. See, it's amazing in today's world how money becomes so distant from us, because a lot of people go through their lives without seeing cash or dealing with cash. I was sharing with Keith how I remember when I went to work for Delta in 1979, we got paid every week. And our supervisor came around and handed you your check on Friday. Thank you for, working. And then we went to every other week, and then we went to automatic deposits. There is no check. I don't get anything. They do put it in my account, or I wouldn't go in. But they do put it in my account. But you see what I'm saying? You get disconnected from money. And everything that we do today, most of you pay your bills online. I do still write checks. I not for everything, but I do write some checks. But it's so easy right now, the way things are, that we let it happen electronically without paying attention. But I'm here to tell you, mistakes can happen with the electronics. You have to pay attention. So whatever you use today, make sure you pay attention to it. Keep up with it. See, it's so easy. I told Kitty today, I made a donation today for the Special Olympics in Minnesota. I have a friend that's doing the polar bear plunge. But I told Kitty today, I said, there's going to be a $25 charge on a credit card because I made a donation, so she would know. But see how easy that was? And there was, all I had to do was click a button, write it in, and poof. I didn't see any money. No money passed hands. But I was able to do it. But it can all happen in a flash like that by not paying attention. And it can disappear. All right. Remember that everything starts with a thought. Make your plan for your finances. Be positive and believe you can do it. There'll be times when you get off track, but pay attention. Get back on the track ASAP. When you see a mistake, don't beat yourself up. Learn from it and stay focused. I'm just about out of time, but I'm gonna breeze through here with my final discipline tips for you as far as finances go. Speak of your blessings. Don't speak of your neediness. Period. See, what you speak about comes about, right, Ralph? Notice your good things. Don't focus on things you don't have. Offer to do things for others. Focus on what you have. Measure your success against God's plan and not compared to anybody else, what he does for you. I'm going to close with prayer, but before I close this piece, Bjorn's going to have a prayer for somebody. But tonight, what we talked about is the finances, and I hope that you're able to pull just a little bit, if it's just one little tidbit, to pay attention to your finances and what you are, of what you have. And I'm going to go back to the most important piece to start all this off is the communication piece, and then to be obedient with the tithe to the church. When those things happen, big things are going to happen for you. Big things are going to happen. And you will be overwhelmed with what God will bless you with if you do things according to his principle, okay? All right? I'm going to close with prayer, and then Bjorn's going to come. Lord, thank you for tonight, for the time we had to come together. And I pray, dear Lord, that for each one of us, no matter where we are financially, that we pay attention, that we become responsible, and we do things the way that you have us to do, the way that you've written it out in your word, the principles that we follow. I pray blessings upon each one here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.